Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
How are we this morning? It's good to be back. I hope you're happy that we're back. You know, I feel really fresh, actually. If you're wondering where we've been, we've had a little staycation. We hit the valley for a few days, went and partied hard in the valley. We got caught straight first place hotel. Someone from the church was there. We're like, we can't get away even in the valley. So then we went south, Casarina, and then we went to Stratty. Who's ever been to Stratty before? I've never been to Stratty before. I found out that Optus has no phone reception there. Did my head in, but you know, maybe God just wanted me to switch off completely. But it's so great to be back, and we are kicking off a new series. As I spent time away, I think sometimes when you just stop, it's a really powerful thing because then God can speak. If you just stop for a moment, just stop and go, God, what is it that you want to say again? What is it you want to say? And I just felt like God was like saying to me in this last couple of weeks, I want you to go back to the beginning. I want you to go back to the beginning. As you're looking forward to the future, I want you to go back to the beginning. As you know, just before we went on holidays, we dropped a bomb on you that we're changing our name in 2023. We pretty much just gave all these announcements and left, okay? So we just smoke bombed you, okay? So you're all just in panic mode while we're just, you know, sipping pina coladas or something. Anyway, so, but it was so great. You know, there's lots coming up in 2023. You know, we have this vision to see this church just be a light in the community under a new name called Beacon. And I know that last week there's something going on because as I didn't know what Skip was going to preach and then get back and hear that he talked about that I am doing something new. He goes to Revelation where God speaks about, hey, I'm making everything new. As I said, I just felt like as we go into this last part of the season of the year, people are exhausted, right? Who's feeling exhausted? Anyone? Just no? Okay, right. Need a holiday? Yep, okay, right. You're like feeling jealous of me now. But 10 weeks to go of the year, pretty much. I think it's 9 weeks until our Christmas carols, you know, services. And, you know, in this last season, it's very easy just to burn out and disappear, almost just want to disconnect completely. But the reality is for this last season of 2022 to be a really God-inspired time, you need the Holy Spirit. You actually need the Holy Spirit. And so we're going back to the beginning. Yes, there's new things coming, but we're going back to the start of where the church exploded. And over the next 6-odd weeks, we're going to look at the book of Acts. And I don't often bring up my physical Bible here because I always have everything on my iPad. But before we get into this series, can I encourage you? I want every one of you to read the book of Acts. No, like not just wait for me to spoon feed you every week, but to actually pick up your flipping Bible. Because on this holiday, I've just felt the Holy Spirit say again, the church needs to be Bible literate. You need to know what the Word of God says or you're going to get smashed. And in this season at the moment, in this spiritual season, there is more attack than ever before and more people are falling away than ever before because they actually don't know what the Word of God says. All they've done for the last decade is snacked on their scripture of the day on their Bible app and never actually got into the Word. So we're going to read the Word of God. Okay, that's pretty much what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. We're going to unpack the Word of God because the reality is this church, I believe, will be overflowing with people that need Jesus. But the seats that are empty next to you will not be filled unless the Holy Spirit moves. Unless the Holy Spirit moves, Psalm 127, 1, the psalmist says it, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You know, we don't want to be building our church based on good music and good events and just being generous. I mean, that's all great. But unless the Holy Spirit's on the move, we're kind of missing it. And so we're going to open to the book of Acts. So if you've got your Bible, you can read along. If you brought your Bible to church, you're very holy. Well done. If not, you can read on the screen. This is how it starts. I'm going to go to chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Let's just stop there. Theophilus, great name for your next kid. This is actually Luke writing. And if you didn't know, this is an extension of the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, you know those books? If you want to know, the book of Acts is the second book of Luke, okay? This is the extension of the book of Luke. So we've got Luke speaking to Theophilus. He's like, I've already sent you one bit of writings, now I'm going to send you some more. And what's really interesting about this, I love that the book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit, all about spiritual things, mystic things, things beyond our understanding. And who does God reveal the Holy Spirit to and give him insight to? The intellectual disciple, Luke. You got to understand, Luke was the doctor, the physician, the one that it was all been in his head. It's all about knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And the Holy Spirit rocks up and he's the one to reveal it to us. I love that. If you're a head knowledge person and you don't understand the Holy Spirit, you're in good company with Luke. And the Holy Spirit wants to reveal himself to you. There aren't spiritual people and mind thinkers. There are people that know God and know his Spirit. And they know what he says. And so it continues, Luke is writing, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? I love that the disciples still missed it. We've still got the same simple disciples going, we're talking about this, we're building a kingdom for Israel, right? And he's like, oh my gosh, boys, you're still missing it. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and at the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. I just said that. And a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Here's the thing. Jesus said he's coming back. Don't do it the same way. Maybe go and look at the sky for a bit. Maybe start praying, God, maybe it's time. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. If you're wondering what a Sabbath day journey is, it's about a K. It's not actually that far, about a kilometer away from the city. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying with Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were on with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Verse 15 says, in those days, Peter stood up amongst the brothers. The company of the persons was about 120. I'm not going to go further into chapter 1, but I just want to stop there. There's 120 people. They're kind of left post-Jesus. 120 people. It's about the same number as the people in this room. I want you to look around. This is it. This is it. No more. This is the moment. This is what, you know, Jesus was left with. Jesus actually has these moments where he is hanging out with, there's not many left. I think sometimes we think Jesus has been resurrected. He appears to all these 120 over 40 days. He actually eats with them. He talks with them. He shows the nails, where the nails have been in his hands. Pretty crazy. If you had a mate who was dead and alive again, I don't know if I'd want to hang out with him, to be honest. Like, I'd be like, dude, like, can you put some bandages on your hands? You know, like, it would just be weird. But for 40 days, this is going on. For 40 days. And he just appears and then disappears. So it's like a bit of, you know, da-da, boom, gone. And they're like, what is going on? So you've got 120 people. I'm not going to go further into chapter 1. As I said, go read it. It's actually, I kind of like the rest of chapter 1 because it's an interesting time where they go and they start discussing that Judas has done, you know, the dodgy and he's betrayed Jesus, but that was because the psalmist said it would happen. And then they go, we've got to replace Judas. We've got to get another disciple. And then they literally draw straws for it. They do a gamble. They flip a coin and go, you're it. All right. So this is before the Holy Spirit. Okay. And they're just kind of doing this in their own human power. They're like, this is gamble. Okay. So, and then they get their disciples back together. And then in chapter 2, this is the moment that we see Jesus's promise come to pass. Can I tell you, if Jesus promises you something, he will not disappoint. He won't disappoint. If Jesus said he's going to do something, man, he doesn't disappoint. You think about it. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again. Okay. Then he does that. So that's kind of crazy. And then he says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave your Holy Spirit. You need to wait in Jerusalem. Wait. And I can imagine these disciples and this 120 were like, man, what is going on? We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit over the next few weeks, okay? I get, ever since I've been at this church, I've had a lot of people ask me what my opinions on the Holy Spirit is. Because a lot of people in our church community have come from traditional church backgrounds. They've somehow found themselves in this church community because they know there's more. They know there's more. And they want it. People say, well, Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit still active? 100%. Do we believe in the Holy Spirit healing? Yes. Do we believe in speaking the tongues? Yes. Do I believe that God can do miracles? Yes. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe that the Holy Spirit can do what he did back then. He is still alive on the move and he can do supernatural things. And I just want to point that out before we go any further, because some people, they go, but what about this? I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you some of my story today. The Holy Spirit is not just for some of us here. He is available to every person that wants it. The Holy Spirit's anointing touch. We're going to read this right now, chapter 2 of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Can I just stop there? As I said, the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same Spirit hovering over the waters in the beginning, right? Now, here's what's really interesting. I remember a few years ago, I was up in Cairns staying with this family. There were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And this lady from Papua New Guinea was actually staying with them, and she was talking about in the village, they always know when the Christians arrive, because every time the Christians arrive, every local sees the fire above their head. Because she noticed it on me. Oh, you've got the blue fire. And I went, hey? She goes, oh, you got the blue fire. Holy Spirit. And I said, what do you mean? And then there's people like, oh, Auntie, explain. Okay, and she starts to say, oh yeah, in the village, anytime someone who knows Jesus, they walk in, we see the blue fire on their head, the fire. So we know the Holy Spirit's with them. Anyway, we'll just move on from that. The Holy Spirit is available, and he is real. But sometimes we limit God, and I want us to return to what the Holy Spirit has on offer for our church. Okay, goes on. Now, There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, I don't know how to say that one, and so on, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ears to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Remember the prophecy of Joel, hundreds of years before Jesus. And it says this, in the last days it shall be, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. I wish I was there. You killed Jesus, Jesus rose again, death can't kill Jesus. Whoa. This is pretty full on. He says, for David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. But therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, for he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and that we all are witnesses of, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received for the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Can you imagine if you were one of them? It was the mobs that killed him. We probably would have been dragged into it. If it happened here today, he's blaspheming, you're right. We've got Jewish culture. How dare he, you know, and then you kill him, and then all of a sudden you get this revelation, you killed God. But don't worry, he rose again. And they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all those afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there was added that day about 3,000 souls. We've got Alpha starting today. There's about 15 registered. Imagine the Holy Spirit hits this place, 120 of you, now we've got 3,000 registered. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit rocks up. I'm not concerned about filling seats. If the Holy Spirit wants to move in this church, they'll be full. And I believe he wants to do it again. I believe that he wants to do it again. Imagine in a moment, this church has 3,000 new members. Alan Tan, you've got 25 to look after, okay? Beck, you've got 25 to look after. Joey, 25 for you. Everyone has 25 people to disciple in an instant. No excuses. Bit of a stretch, hey. But this is actually how the church started. This is what happened. You know, today I want to just draw a couple of things from the 120, what they were doing at the time when God showed up. And I want us to be expectant for God to move again. Expectant. First and foremost, it says at the end of Luke, this 120 were led out by Jesus to Bethany in verse 50. And Jesus lifts up his hands and blesses them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple blessing God. What I love is that when Jesus left the 120, he's gone up into heaven, they don't go, "No! Don't go!" They go, "Oh my gosh, we're excited because Jesus said he's going to leave something better." There's this great joy in them, this expectation that God is going to move. They don't even know what it looks like, but they have this expectation and they just get worshiping. They just get worshiping. They're in the temple together. They're praying and worshiping. My first question to you as we take away from the 120 is simply this. Where is your faith today? Do you have an absolute assurance of Jesus and what he did through the cross and resurrection? Do you believe he rose and rose again? Do you believe he's coming back again? Do you believe that everything he promised is true? And if so, are you full of joy? Do you have a great joy? It's like, oh man, I don't care what's going on. He's coming back. I got joy in my heart. He's still in control. Are you full of joy? The other thing that I love about this 120, because they understand that Jesus is about to leave them something amazing, they decide to do something which we decide not to do on a regular basis, and that's be obedient. He says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Spirit hits. They don't go, "Oh, I'm just going to pop out for a bit. Just going to go camping. I'll be back in a few days." No, they're like so expectant. They're like, "We're going to be obedient until it shows up." And I think sometimes when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit or the move of God, we're so impatient, we move around that we miss what God has for us if we just stayed put, kept showing up and was obedient until the moment. They're obedient. Truthfully, God wants to clothe you and I with the same power of the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit. He wants to give you everything on offer. Everything, wholeheartedly. Are you vigilant in being obedient while you wait? While you wait. And thirdly, by the end of this preach, I want to challenge us all on the ask. Never cease asking for the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to share my testimony. Because some of you in this room, you're like, "Yeah, Holy Spirit," because you've experienced it. For others here, you're like, "Here goes the Pentecostal. I've asked for that, never happened. Never got it. Speaking in tongues, didn't get it. Never seen it. Been in church my whole life. Continue to ask for it." Can I tell you my upbringing? I grew up in a Pentecostal church. Grew up in a church where the Toronto blessing hit in the early 90s. My church was so Spirit-filled that my church would have worship sessions every night for about a month. We would go to that church, people were getting slain in the Spirit, like boom, you know. And I, as a young guy in my early teens, I was like, if that guy even touches me, I'll push him over. Don't touch me. If it's real, it'll happen. Don't you try and manipulate me. But I sat there, and I remember one night as I went and got prayer, he didn't touch me. He was about a meter away from me because I made sure of it. I got flattened. Now, here's the interesting thing. People go, "What happened? What was it like?" I remember being pinned to the floor. And what I mean by that is I tried to get up straight away because I was really annoyed I fell over. And my head was super glued to the ground. And I couldn't move. And so for about an hour, I went, "All right, God, what do you want to say to me?" Nothing. So I didn't really get much out of that, but I was like, "That's interesting." Saw other people, you know, in this season of the Holy Spirit moving, people were laughing their heads off. Some people would literally laugh for an hour and a half, just in hysterics. I'd be like, "That person's crazy." other people would have different experiences. I remember my mum also struggled with Holy Spirit stuff. My dad, for some reason, he was like a conduit, you know. Trev, he got smacked all the time. And my mum, we used to walk to church. We're very close to church. And we used to walk to our church. I remember walking home one day and my mum was really angry. So angry. Why is everyone else getting touched by God and not me? And my dad trying to explain it, but he's on a high. I mean, he's, you know, he's literally could have been like a glow-in-the-dark person. I mean, he was just pinging. But my mom was angry. Why am I not getting this? Why am I not getting this Holy Spirit stuff? So I went through that. Here's the thing. I'm not a pastor of a church because it's something good to do. I'm here because I believe it to be true. I'm not here wasting my time and my life trying to convince you to join a religion. I want you to experience God in his fullness. Now, my experience with speaking in tongues. I asked God for speaking in tongues for a decade. Well over a decade. From the age of probably about 5, I'd seen it. If you want to receive the gift of tongues, you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come down the front. Boom, there's me. And then I heard it all. I've heard it all my whole life. I've heard it all. Just whatever comes to your mind, just let it out. No. I want some McDonald's. You know, I don't know. Whatever. Cheeseburger. You know, like, I don't know. So it wasn't for me. I got to pray it all the time. Like, oh, it's just me. I get so frustrated. So angry. Maybe you're in this church, you see the spiritual stuff, you don't get it. Az is looking an idiot again, he's speaking in tongues again. Drunk in the morning, are you, Az? No. Promise you I'm not. But then it happened, decade in. Would have been maybe 10 to 12 years of asking, why can't I have it? Give me the gift of tongues. Lord, would you give me I just want to know it's real. I want to know. I went to Hillsong, grade 12, on a bus trip. First 4 days of the conference, I hated. True story, hated it. Thought it was a big show. All these lights and good-looking people. And to be honest, hated it. Had all my opinions. Had all my preconceived ideas. Hated it. And then about the fourth day of Hillsong conference, there was this worship band out from the UK called Delirious. They wrote that song, History Maker, occasionally pops up. And I'm in this session. It's probably about 5,000 people in the auditorium that can seat 20,000 people on a full thing. And they're doing an acoustic worship set. And I'm with my mate, Josh. Josh Hay, his name was, from school. It's a school trip. They start singing this worship song. And the Holy Spirit hits like a freight train. Can't explain it, and that's what I love about it. He just hits. I'm keeled over. The Holy Spirit is hitting me like a lightning bolt, and all I can do, I can't even speak, and then all of a sudden my tongue starts to rage. And the Holy Spirit hits me, and I start to speak in tongues, a language I've never heard. And I'm keeled over for like an hour and a half. My mate Josh next to me, he is keeled over completely, like just cannot. And I'm looking around and people are just getting smacked. I remember getting up and going, that was weird. We were staying with we're staying with this school group at some school grounds and we're sleeping on the floor in these classrooms. And my mate Josh, I mean, he comes from a family that don't have any faith at all. So he's like the only Christian and now he's like speaking. He's just like, what was that? But something happened on that day. You see, those who knew little Az Hamilton before that moment knew a timid kid that never talked to anyone. Shyest kid in my class, in my grade. I avoided every bit of public speaking. I avoided everything. And I remember, number one thing, by the way, I avoided was singing in public. And I know that some of you guys have heard me sing here. Can I tell you, if you ever hear me sing on this platform, it's the Holy Spirit that says sing. Because I freak out. It's still true to this day. It's my greatest fear. But I remember saying to my mate Josh, because we were in this Christian school, and this is good for you guys, you teenagers, right? And so I'm in a Christian school, and we had like chapel every week, and it was terrible, right? Some of you are like, that's us, you know, like, yeah. And I remember saying to my mate Josh, I said, Josh, I think we need to lead chapel worship. And he goes, can you sing? I said, nah. But there was just this stirring within me. So he goes, all right, I'll do it with you, mate. I'm like, yes, sweet, all right. And I'm packing it, right? And I go back to my school and I say, oh, we want to help with the chapel. We're the only guys, all girls, and we're the only guys. And so they give us the microphone. I still remember this to this very day. We get up and all the students are like, whatever. And I start to sing. And I'm trying to hear Josh's voice. And I'm like, this is weird. He's like singing. And I'm like, I'm soloing this, right? Anyway, it was the most awkward hour and a half of my life. And I get off and go, what happened? I said, I couldn't hear you. He goes, mate, I was so embarrassed to turn my mic off, right? Anyway. I'm like, you left me for dead. Great, great, great. But over the next few weeks of that chapel, true story, every young guy that I'd been praying for that I thought would never, ever receive Jesus and follow Jesus all gave their hearts to God. We ended up having in our school prayer meetings. We only had a school of 360 kids. We had prayer meetings at lunchtime where 120 kids would rock up. That was my last 6 months of grade 12. Holy Spirit, when He hits, He will change your life. And I think so many of us, we just kind of go, I don't know why I don't get it. Why don't I get it? Well, I've got encouragement for you today. Because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to touch your life. And He wants to speak to you and He wants to encounter you. And, you know, this is one of my favorite scriptures ever. In regards to those that have been asking, just keep asking. What I love about that Hillsong experience, I wasn't even asking at that time. God's timing is outside of our timing. It's interesting. Give it to me now. No? Oh, you're not there. Right? Like, you know. You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, that was a load of rubbish, yeah. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, right? So Luke, who actually writes the book of Acts, in the book of Luke, Luke 11, 5 to 13, he says this. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Okay, let's paraphrase that. Knocking your mate's door at 2 a.m. Josiah, I need some ice cream. Josiah's like, shut up, I'm in bed with Bella. I'm tired. Josiah, give me some ice cream. If I did that for about an hour, you'd be like, just take what is in the flipping fridge. Take the fridge. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Josiah's not giving it to me because he's a friend. He's annoyed because you didn't stop asking. You're a pest. It's in the Bible. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What does he give? The Holy Spirit. Don't stop asking. Got a lot of people who just quit. People who probably come through these doors and they've gone, oh my gosh, a Pentecostal church. I never understood the Holy Spirit, never got the Holy Spirit. I'm moving on. Stay. Keep asking. Don't stop. And at exactly the right time, when the Holy Spirit hits, you won't be able to deny it. This is not a made-up thing. This is an alive God that loves you, who wants to work through you, who wants to see you pray for the sick and see them healed. Never stop asking. Stop being disappointed and say, God, I know you're going to show up. Like he said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem, you're going to be clothed with power. He says it again. You're going to get it. Keep asking. Keep asking. Trust me, a church filled with the Holy Spirit will see revival in a city. Man, there's a couple of things, though, I want to bring to your attention. We talked about obedience. There's a couple of things we need to understand about the first 3,000 that responded on that day of Pentecost. The first thing is they were cut to the heart because they knew they were sinners. They realized they had sinned and they needed to repent. I'm leaving my past life behind. It's buried and dead. Now I'm following Jesus. First thing. This is not, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to keep going. It was, I'm sorry and I'm leaving it. Second thing, they're obedient to being baptized in water. Understand that salvation was connected to baptism in water. Then there was the onflow of the Holy Spirit through baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in water and you're wondering why the Holy Spirit's not showing up, maybe it comes back to your obedience. So get baptized. Get in the water and get baptized. It's the first thing that Jesus said, repent and be baptized. We've got it November 27. If you can't wait, we'll go down to Raby Bay. I don't care. We'll dunk you. Come and see me. I don't care when it happens. Just do it. So many people miss out on the things of God because they go, oh, well, I'll be obedient to that thing, but not that one because it's a bit embarrassing. What? It's a public declaration saying my old life is gone. I follow Jesus. And when you say I follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides. Get baptized. November 27. Get baptized. Your whole family needs to be baptized. Get them all baptized. I'm serious. Do it all at once. I don't care. No rhyme or ritual. I mean, this is really basic stuff. Keep asking. You know, the gifts of the Spirit, when it comes to healing and prophecy and words of knowledge, all of these gifts are available to you and I. It all comes from obedience, though. Can I tell you one more story real quick, and then we're going to wrap up. We're going to take communion as well. Beck and I were dating, and she called me because she comes from a bit of a traditional background. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. Bit of a traditional background, loves the Holy Spirit stuff. But back then, 10 years ago, it's actually 10 years ago yesterday that I proposed to Beck. And so I made the right choice. That's good. She's still questioning it. Anyway, so, but true story, I remember I was actually driving to a camp I was about to speak at. And she was talking to me about all sorts of different supernatural things, like, you know, coming from traditional church background. And I said to her, seriously, don't worry about it. I don't see a lot of it. You know, I didn't want to freak her out, you know. Words of knowledge. We're talking about prophecy and words of knowledge and lots of stuff. I said, never happened to me. Don't worry about it, right? And then literally I go to this church, young adult camp, and I'm about to speak. And I have a full preach set, and I'm pretty young and new to this speaking stuff, really, at that stage. And I get given the microphone, the band's still up on stage. And as soon as I get given the microphone, I feel the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, you start to tune into him and you understand his voice. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit straight away. And the Holy Spirit said, sing. And I'm like, no. Like I did. I was like, no, I don't sing. I hate singing. But it's like, sing. It was just like a bombardment of my spirit. You need to sing. And I'm like, ah. So get this microphone and the band's still behind me. So I shut my eyes and I try and hit a note. I sing for maybe a minute. And I felt the Holy Spirit pray. And I'm like, huh? So I said, hey, anyone who wants prayer, come up. And so people come down the front. I start praying for people. And for the first time in my entire life, I can only explain it like this. I'd lay hands on someone, and the Holy Spirit would download a high-definition video of their life. And so, oh, this is what's happened in your life. I don't know you. Next. Well, I hope that was right. Next. About 20 people. Anyway, I was like, that was weird. But it was what happened after. A bunch of people came up to me and said, how did you know? Know what? No one knows that about my life. That happened to me as a child. That's exactly what happened. This, 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 and this. How do you know? I said, I don't. I don't even know who you are. God loves you. And he sees you. Okay? Right? Now, some people might get weirded out by that. But remember, God is the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He's outside of time, so he knows exactly what's going to happen. He can reveal it, show you, guide you. And so then, but this one really, really blew me away, and I've always thought about this. I go, God, you are so amazing. This young guy, I had this real clear picture of him pulling up young guys over this climbing wall, like a ropes course, you know. It was so clear, and I know nothing about this guy. And I said, mate, you're helping young guys just get out of their dark places and, you know, whatever. And I tell him this stuff, and he goes, thank you, and he leaves. And so about 2 months later, I run into this guy in Toowoomba. And he comes up and he goes, oh, Az, I'm so glad I've run into you. I've got to tell you something. I said, sure. He goes, Az, you have no idea the word that you brought. You have no idea. And I said, what's going on? He said, I have four brothers, older brothers. We used to all be in church. All my four brothers have walked away from church. He said, I'm the youngest brother and I have a massive disconnect with my dad. Huge gap. Torn apart. We just don't get along. And my dad, I got home. My dad said, well, how was that camp? He said, oh, it's really amazing, Dad. I got this word given to me about this. And he shares the word. And his dad breaks down and cries. And apparently he kept saying to his son, you're my son. And he can't stop saying, you're my son. So he's telling this. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, I said to my dad, Dad, what's wrong? And he goes, 20 years ago, before I had any of you boys, I had a prophecy over my life that one day my son would do exactly that. It was the same thing, exactly the same image. And he said, all my four oldest sons have walked away from God and I thought God lied to me. And I've given up on that. He said, you're my son that's going to do it. Their relationship completely restored. Here's the thing. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. I am not a superhero with super spidey senses. I'm not. I'm Thor. I'm not going to go there, right? So much to say. But as we explore the book of Acts, over the next few weeks, we're going to keep on looking at what the Holy Spirit did in the early church, and we're going to keep believing and being expectant for the Holy Spirit to do it again. To do it again. Don't stop asking. He's going to show up. I want us to bow our heads right now. God, you're so good. And God, I thank you that you're so real. We don't worship a sky fairy, an idea, a religion. God, we worship you, Jesus, who died on a cross, who was resurrected from the dead. You overcame sin and death once and for all, so we don't have to be fearful of death ever. We can be free of death. We can be eternal with you, Jesus. All we have to do is accept your love. If you're here today and you need to know Jesus, can I tell you now, you can start your journey of faith today by simply praying, God, I need you. I'm sorry for my past. That's it. You don't have to show me your hand. If you do that today, trust me, I'll know when you've decided to follow Jesus when you jump into the waters of baptism. Because that's the outward thing. It's not about a hand. It's the outward declaration. I've decided to follow Jesus. But in this moment, you can ask for God's help. You say, Jesus, meet me where I'm at. I need you, Jesus. Show me and teach you who you are. The same goes for the Holy Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never understood the Holy Spirit, it's never hit you hard like it hit me on that day. Man, I want that to happen for you. But you've got to keep asking. Ask. Ask. Jesus, I need your Holy Spirit. I need a real encounter. Show me. Just pray that yourself. God, I pray today that you will move this week. You will stir us to read your word. To go after you like never before. May you show up in power. Would you activate our faith life like never before? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, there's one last thing we're going to do. We're going to get the guys to bring in the emblems. We're going to take up communion. We're going to sing Rest on Us as we take up communion. What a beautiful thing to do today, to remember what Jesus did on the cross through his death and resurrection. But also, as we take these emblems to remember what Jesus has done for us, remember that this moment led to the Holy Spirit being poured out for all of us. And so we're going to sing Rest on Us. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. You can stand up right now. If you want further prayer at the end of the service, we have a prayer team. You want prayer for the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can come and get it. We've got that happening. You want to register for baptism? Go and sign up at the Next Steps area. Alpha kicks off today. If you want to go to that, just sign up. Get involved. Don't hold back. Seek after God, and you're going to find him. Amen? Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.